From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
And it's funny, you watch these bodybuilders, the bigger they get, the smaller their heads become. He had the teeniest head. He had the skinniest legs in the world. And with these skinny legs, I thought, Stan, you are so big on the top, but all somebody has to do is like trip you up and boom, you're done, you're finished. And I thought, you know, the same is with us. We can get huge there, but you got skinny legs. And there's going to be a part of your life that's so weak that the enemy knows exactly where to hit you.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, president of New Hope Christian College in Eugene, Oregon.
Today, Pastor Wayne has a message that covers an area most of us can use a little help in. In fact, most of us can use a lot of help in it. It's a message entitled, How Wise People Build Wealth. As you might suspect, it's not all about dollars and cents. In fact, it's more about common sense. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, How Wise People Build Wealth.
Would you take out your notes with me as we continue, as we talk about today, how wise people build wealth. You know, a lot of our perspective, our perception about wealth and riches comes from the way that we were raised. If you were raised in a poor condition, you have a different view of wealth and what it means. I don't know about you, but I grew up in the poorer part of Palolo Valley. In fact, the house is still there where I grew up in, and my brother lives there, and the house is still standing only because termites are holding hands now. That's the only reason. We were so poor. I mean, you know, our doorbell hardly ever worked. In fact, when someone pressed the doorbell, we'd have to run to the window and yell, ding dong. That's the only way, you know, they could. We were so poor, man. My brother and I used to go down to Kentucky Fried Chicken and lick other people's fingers. I never could get this money thing together. In fact, when Anna and I got married, you know, when they throw rice and stuff, I said, honey, let's get married just for the rice. We can just catch it, you know, and scoop it up. We get one bag of Hinode rice if we are good. I was thinking, we got to get this money thing together. It's not always that easy. And worse, I used to have a relative that was a Christian, and they would always, you know, we'd be so poor. I'd go to school with like one slipper, and the teacher would go, oh, you lost a slipper. I said, no, I found one. We just hardly had anything. Just didn't have anything. And I remember this relative would just say, well, praise the Lord, God will provide. And after a while, I'm thinking, he's not providing. We don't have anything. My mother was a single mom, worked at the Flamingo restaurant for tips, and that's all we had. And I thought, no, isn't it something, when you have faith, you're not always going to be liked, because people don't like people with faith sometimes when you don't have it, because you just bother me. And I was thinking, she would always say, praise the Lord, God will provide. And I just get more and more angry at her. Stop it. Reminds me of this story of this lady. It's a black lady. Every morning she'd come out on her porch, very poor part of town. Praise the Lord, she said. Praise the Lord for you providing for me today. Well, there's, you know, she's just really poor, and she just believed God to provide. And her neighbor would just start to get real sick and tired of hearing her come out of her house every morning just saying, praise the Lord, you're going to provide for me today. Well, he'd start to say, hey, be quiet, you fanatic. And she'd look over at him, praise the Lord, you're just going to provide for me today. Well, he ain't providing for you, is he? Praise the Lord for you providing for me today. And after a while, this neighbor just got angrier and angrier, because people with faith, not everybody likes them. Well, one day, this neighbor got an idea. And this lady came out the next morning, praise the Lord for providing for me. And she looked down, there was a bag of groceries. She said, well, praise the Lord, you provided my groceries today. And just then the neighbor jumps out from the bushes. Ha! I bought those groceries. God didn't provide them for you. Ha! I did. And she stopped and said, Lord, thank you for providing for me these groceries. And you even had the devil pay for it. Don't mess with those faith-filled Christians. Well, what is it that makes us wealthy? How many of you could use a little bit more wealth? Raise your hand. There's a little bit more. Yeah. All of us. Well, what is it that makes us wealthy? Let's read what the Bible says at the top of our notes. Would you read it with me? Go. It is the blessings of the Lord that makes rich, and he adds no sorrow. Would you circle the word blessings? Because what makes you rich? The Lord's blessings. And he adds no sorrow to it. Well, what is the Lord's blessings? Is it just one thing? Money? Not necessarily. Some people think that the key to happiness is wealth. But if you look at a key, it's going to have more than one cut on it. Yeah, wealth or financial stewardship is one of the cuts. Don't get me wrong. God isn't intimidated by people of affluence. Because if you're faithful to steward what God gives you, he'd be happy to funnel more through you to help more people. There's one cut that's the key, but there's other cuts that are on the key. And the key to your success and your future and God's blessings is multifaceted, not just one-dimensional. So you say, well, what is the beginning of how wise people build wealth? What's the first step? Real easy, write down a number one. First, you have to define accurately what wealth is. Would you write down accurately define wealth? Because it's not just the accumulation of money. No, that would be the wrong target. Oh, it'll include that, but it's not solely money. In fact, listen carefully. This is not a message of how to achieve your financial dreams. This is a message of how to live right. And I have found that when you do that, you'll find that your dreams will have been achieved. This is not a message on how to achieve a dream. It's how to live right. Because when you do, I have found that you'll turn around and your dreams will have been achieved. And that's why the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be what? Added unto you. But if you seek for these things, you may miss the kingdom of God. So the first is, what is the definition of wealth? You've got to think through that because it may be more than money. I have friends that are wealthy because of their honesty or their purity of heart or their deep friendships. They've got a marriage or a family, or they've got a faith. They have a ministry. What is it that you would say in the end is what makes you wealthy? What is it? You've got to define that. Think it through. It's more than one. If it's just one, if it's just money, whatever's at the top of your heap, whatever at the top of your treasure heap, if it's not God, anything else will morph into a God, small g. Because there's only one that can fit that bill, and that's God himself. If you displace anything else, whatever is in that will morph into a little g God. In fact, if money is there, which is a default of the world, you ask people, what will make you successful? Well, money. If that's the first thing, oh, it is a cut of the key. I'm not saying it isn't. But if that's the top of the heap, it will morph into a God that the Bible calls mammon. And then mammon will begin to direct and dictate everything about your heart. Because the Bible says, where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. It begins to dictate everything about your heart. And your decisions, without you realizing it, will all be dictated by mammon. Not money, mammon, or the spirit behind it. How many people will say, well, if I had more money, we'd be happier. Well, if we had more money, the kids could be better educated. If we had more money, we wouldn't fight enough. We wouldn't fight as much. If I had more money, I'd live here. If I had more money, I'd be more involved in ministry. If I had more money, I could send our kids to private school. You see, after a while, money is dictating everything instead of God. What if God says send your kids to public school versus private? Private's great. But watch this. How many of you went to public school? Raise your hand. Public school. Raise your hand. High. High. All right. Look around. Look at that. Yeah. And we ain't that bad. But sometimes we'll think money is the answer to everything. Oh, it's a part of the answer, folks. You've got to be financially great stewards. And we'll talk about investing and saving, etc. But it's one of the cuts. And if it's the only cut, then that which is at the top of the heap will turn into a small g God. And your life will become one-dimensional. You'll be strong in one area, very weak in the others. And the devil knows what areas you're weak in. That's what he's going to go after. You've got to hit all of the cuts of the keys so that you say, well, this is wealth, and you begin investing in all of those. Otherwise, you'd be like a friend of mine. His name is Stan. Stan wanted to have the biggest chest and muscles, you know, of anybody. So he would pump weights every day. This guy was just huge. And it's funny, you watch these bodybuilders, the bigger they get, the smaller their heads become. He had the teeniest head. And then one day, we had this church outing, and he came to the beach, with Speedos. I don't know why he put those on. He wanted to show everybody his muscles, but see, it was not a pretty sight. It was ugly. But he came with these Speedos, and the other thing is, because he put so much emphasis on building his upper body, he neglected his legs. He had the skinniest legs in the world. They look like ostrich legs. So he came out with skinny legs, big top, teeny head, Speedos. Can you just imagine what that looked like? And with these skinny legs, I thought, Stan, you are so big on the top, but all somebody has to do is like trip you up and boom, you're done, you're finished. Because it's a weak part of your life and they trip you up there, and it doesn't matter how many muscles you got on top. Doesn't matter. And I thought, you know, the same is with us when we just think money is the only thing. We can get huge there, but there's, you got skinny legs. And there's going to be a part of your life that's so weak that the enemy knows exactly where to hit you. That's why we must first define, get an accurate definition of what will make you a wealthy person. Coming out of Babylon, in 586, they were taken captive into Babylon, the Israelites, but 70 years later, they were going to return. Now, a prophet named Haggai, which we just read through, if you're going through the devotions with us, he was saying, now, God's sort of giving you a second chance. The first time, you sort of used God to bless you, and it ended you up in captivity. You had a weak point. You were one-dimensional. Now, when we go back, he's saying, now, make sure we do it right the second time. And folks, listen, God has given many of us a second chance. We're Christians. God's redeemed us. Second chance. And God is saying, now don't take the habits of the world and continue them. The only difference is you're asking God to bless you now in it. Pattern hasn't changed. Same song, second verse, same as the first. And so Haggai is saying, do it right this time. Change it. So he says, and let's read it. Under number one, Haggai 1, verses 5 and 6 go. Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You earn wages, but only to put them in a purse with... Yeah. Now he's not talking about your wife's purse, but... talking about the fact that we just can't keep enough because it seems to drain out. You've got to accurately define wealth. Tolstoy quotes an old Russian proverb, and he says this. He says, all that glitters is not gold. Be careful of the lures of life that glitter, and we think it's gold. And I would add to that, when we're coming to find out an accurate definition of what wealth is, I would say, and all that is gold doesn't always glitter. Because there's some very precious treasures in life that may not glitter, but it's more precious than you'll ever, ever realize. The treasure of deep friendships, of loyalties, maybe of being able to resolve things or having short accounts. A clear conscience, pure heart, so that you can put your head down on your pillow at night and rest. Maybe a genuine marriage, an authentic family that's close. What about your integrity, honesty? That's what makes a man, a woman, a person of great wealth, but in a balanced way. And sure, finances will be a part of that, but can you see all the rest that gives you a stronger base of what wealth is? Sometimes I travel around and a pastor will come up to me and say, Wayne, you may not remember me, but I was in your youth group back in the 1800s, whenever that was. And And he'll say, thank you for what you've put it into my life. And I think, I look at his life and I think, you know, there's nothing richer than to see something like that. We just had a pastor's practicum. 60-some pastors came from all over the world. And at first there was this one man, kind of a bit reticent to be involved. But after 5 days and being with this church, the last night, unsolicited, in a response, he stands up and begins to thank New Hope for all that it's done in him and how his heart has changed. And in the middle of his first sentence, he broke down and began to weep. And to see a pastor do that, everybody got real quiet. And then all our faucets started to leak. And when he was done, I thought there was no more eloquent thank you that I've heard. And I thought, boy, what a rich evening. What is it that would make you rich? The blessings of the Lord maketh rich. And he adds no sorrow to it. You have to accurately define what wealth is, because if you don't, you'll miss it. Because it doesn't just come in bling alone. Let's read what this next one says. Go. Some who are poor pretend to be rich, and others who are rich pretend to be... Yeah, it's not always on the outside. I have a friend, his name is Noel. He was with me about 7 years while we pioneered Hilo. And we used to collect, you know, I was collecting bottle caps, and I still collect, I have stamps in this book, because I thought, man, these old stamps are going to make me rich, man. And then I have these baseball cards. And so I came to Noel one day, I said, Noel, I'm going to be rich because I've got bottle caps, and I've got baseball cards, and I've got stamps. Man, I said, I collect those things, Noel. What do you collect? You collect bottle caps? I said, no. You collect stamps? No. You collect baseball cards? No. I said, well, you're going to be poor. What do you collect? He said, I collect friends. I thought, ooh, that's cool. Ooh, oh, I like that. Isn't that funny? You hear some people say things like that and you think, man, I wish I would have said that. That's so good. But I remember that and I thought, that's what makes him rich. He's a man who is the best friend a guy could have. He has loyalty, compassion, interest. He's just a discipler, and I thought, that's what makes him wealthy. It was a 1999 cyber thriller called Matrix. It's where this huge, almost all-powerful machine makes this illusionary world where people live this imaginary thing where nothing's really real. They're just hooked up to this machine, the Matrix, and they're living their life in this imaginary world where whatever they can imagine, they live, but it's all fake. Because this Matrix wants to control and enslave people's thoughts, the way they think. That's it. So people become satisfied with just living this thing that, although it's not real, they like it. And one of the heroes in the beginning is a man named Neo. You see, they come to this red pill and a blue pill that they have to take, and it's a choice. If you take the blue pill, you go into this imaginary world. Whatever you want to be, you can become. And it's not real in eternal ways, it's just real in cyberspace, your imagination. But people like that because the sensations are there, everything is there. So they live that way. But if you take this red pill, it puts you out of that into reality. It's a bit more somber, many more challenges, but you see the truth of what's going on. And there's this one guy named Apoc who was in the real world, not the imaginary world, for about a decade. And he was getting tired of it. And this vivid scene where Neo and Apoc are at dinner, and this guy comes and sets down the meal and opens it up, and there's a red pill and a blue pill. And Apoc says, you know, I know if I take the red pill, I'll stay in what's truth and reality. But you know what? I've always wanted to be a movie star. I've always wanted to have people like me, to be rich and famous. And he reaches down, he takes the blue pill, and he takes it, and he says, I know, It's all imaginary, but sometimes ignorance is bliss. And he goes. And I thought, you know, second time around, it's like God is giving us the red pill or the blue pill. You want to be a people of truth, or do you want to be people who are in this imaginary kind of world that's fine for this life, but it doesn't hold anything for the life to come? It doesn't give massive eternal results. This one will. And we have to choose every day which one we're going to do, which one we'll take. And God is saying in this second chance around, careful, choose wisely, define wealth correctly, build it slowly, then learn to invest in what will bring wealth. Begin investing in what will bring wealth. True wealth now. True wealth. Because if it's just money alone, we'll talk about that, but we've got to set a stalwart base in the beginning of this series. Let's read what happens in 1 Timothy 6:9. Go. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and... Yeah, if that's your only goal, it becomes a god, and your goods become your god, and your self-worth becomes synonymous with your net worth. Now, my prayer is that God will add another 20, 30, 50 millionaires to this church. That's our desire and our hope. But before that, we want to build a sturdy and stalwart base, because I don't want you to end up with skinny head, big chest, and skinny legs and Speedos. Because although we're one-dimensionally strong, there's areas of our life that's very weak, and that's where you'll get tripped up in. So define accurately what wealth, what will make you wealthy. And then build slowly, and then start to invest in on a daily basis all those things. Is it friendship? Is it honesty? Is it integrity? Is it a marriage that's true and strong? Yeah, mind shaky. Invest in it. A lot of times the reason a marriage is shaky is because you don't invest in it. That's why it's bankrupt. Because the areas of your life and mine are like bank deposits. If you don't invest, you don't have anything. It's empty. And if we stop why do you think your marriage was so good in the beginning? Because you what? You invested in it. But after a while, you take it for granted and you don't invest in it. You just withdraw, then you realize it's bankrupt. Same thing is true with your faith, your devotion, your serving, your friendships. What are those things that are wealth to you? And then begin to make deposits in those. Then you'll begin to understand that this becomes a pearl of great price. That's what the kingdom of God is. No, not just one dimensional. The kingdom of God is what makes you wealthy, truly wealthy. That's why the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's the blessings of the Lord that maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Oh, God, what are you blessing? Oh, that and this, this and that. Okay, the Lord says, now that's called a pearl of great price. That's a part of the kingdom of God. Your second chance around, you're doing it the kingdom way. That's it. And when you come to that, you'll understand what wealth is all about. It was told about in Matthew 13. Parable says there's a man who went out and found a pearl of great price. It was so precious that he sold everything that he had in order to buy it. Sort of like this. A merchant has this beautiful, extraordinary pearl, and a man comes and says, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever set my eyes on. How much is it? The merchant says, a little more than you probably have. Oh, he says, I gotta have this. It's beautiful. How much do you have? Says the merchant. He takes out his wallet and he says, I've got everything, $180. Good. He says, I'll take that. What else do you have? That's it. You don't have any more money like in the bank? Oh, well, I do have a savings. Okay, how much? Well, I got $4,000 in that. Okay, I'll take that. Well, then I won't have anything. What will I retire on? Just my pension? Oh, you have a pension. I'll take that too. Yeah, but whoa, wait a minute. What will I tell my wife? Oh, you have a wife. Yeah, that goes in here. Then my kids won't have a mom. You have children. All right, we'll take that. Well, then my house will be empty. Well, you have a house. We'll take that too. I said, wait a minute. Then I'm going to drive home to nothing. Oh, you have a car. He says, then if you take all of that, I have nothing. No, said the merchant as he hands him the pearl. Now you have everything.
You've just heard a message entitled How Wise People Build Wealth by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves? That place is New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.